Father God, we thank you so much for an opportunity to dive into your word, to know you more. And we just pray that as the words are spoken today, that you are magnified, that we can know that we can trust in you, and that we do not need to fear because you've gone before us and you're in our today, that we can walk by faith. So as this message is given today, I just pray that you would anoint it and anoint the people who are about to receive it, that it would be a message that changes us again from the inside out. That is the ultimate goal, is that we are transformed from the inside out. And it's nothing that we do, but it's everything that you do. So I just pray that you would do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, new beginnings often cause us to look internally and make some assessments about what we are capable of doing and not doing. Last week we talked about being on this journey with other people and how we have the opportunity to be God's hands and feet as we set out on this journey together. We talked about this in relationship to how Moses was directly impacted by those who were looking over him and the evidence of God's hand in his life from the beginning. Remember, he was found in the Nile in the basket, and how the Pharaoh's daughter found him and brought him in. So today we're going to take a look at some more of his life. We want to know if Moses was so fortunate to have God guiding him through all things. Let's see if Moses' life as an adult, and then put that into perspective in relationship to our own lives. Because as we set out on this journey, it's good to have a perspective of who we are and what we bring with us. Now, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's shadow and far from his Hebrew roots. He was not instructed in the ways of God or his law, and God was not a daily focus for him. He was living in the world, as we would say today, away from God and consumed with what life was for him. Sheltered from his people and his God, he lived much differently than any of the other Hebrew people. In fact, the Hebrew people were enslaved and worked for Pharaoh and were not treated nice or even fair. One day, this captured Moses' attention, and something snapped in him. Let's read along in Exodus 2:11. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his people were and watched them at their hard labor. Let's just stop here for a minute and imagine being in Moses' shoes and what he was seeing and feeling. Moses had everything at his disposal. He wanted for nothing. He had clothes, food, riches, and as he watched what was happening to his people, something was about to well up in him. He was about to set out on a journey of a new kind, and one he probably didn't plan too well for. So let's keep on reading. Exodus 2:12. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, glancing this way and that, and not seeing anyone. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Wow. Now, we can't get behind what Moses did or even his motivation for doing it. Most of us would wonder why he would even do this. But the Hebrew word here used to describe his own people could also be translated his brothers. He was now identifying more with his people despite his upbringing in the royal Egyptian household. There was something that was driving him to free his people. Unfortunately, at this point, he was doing it his way and in his power. But it was the birth of something within him. He made a decision to be for something and to take a stand. He had chosen a destination and a purpose. So let's pause from the story for a minute and consider a couple things for ourselves. First, we usually do not get behind something until we are motivated by it, until we can relate or identify with it on some level, like Moses did here. Second, when most of us set out to go somewhere, there are usually things that we expect to happen. The car starts and we have what we need for the journey, because we planned ahead and have faith in the things needed to get us to our destination. There are those people who, when they set out on a journey, are putting more faith into their mode of transportation than others. For some, they are fearful of what might happen if they go and use the things as they are, like this gentleman in this broken down truck. This week, I had an experience similar to this. After church last week, I decided to remove the layer of salt the state so graciously donated to us during the last storm. I saved the plow truck for last, washing all the other vehicles. As I was squirting all around, I got to the frame and I found this. Not a good situation. Cracked almost all the way through. Now, I could have continued to drive the truck in this condition, and soon it might be looking like the video picture we just saw earlier. Or I could take steps to fix the problem. I could trust or go by faith that the truck would be okay for one more storm, or maybe even one more trip. But that would not be wise. So instead, I called my friend, and we made the repair to ensure it would not come apart, at least in that spot. There's the repair. Now, I tell you this story because Moses saw a problem. There was something that did not seem right to him, and he wanted to do something to make it right. However, Moses did not use wisdom as he engaged in his actions with the Egyptian, and there was a result because of this. As we read on in the chapter, we see that he was confronted by the other Hebrews. In Exodus 2, 13 through 14. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." Now what he had done is in the open. The fear of the consequence for his actions was real and a cost was certain. If I had continued to use the truck in the condition it was, there could have been some tragic consequences. An accident involving property damage or maybe injuring someone. We all have decisions to make, and we can make them based on our own faith or on faith that has wisdom in it, seeking what God might desire. Even though Moses did not use wisdom or think about what God might desire, God was not done with him. He still had a plan to use him and even to use the passion that welled up inside him for his people. We know Moses had faith in something, but how did he even know God if he grew up in a royal palace set apart from his people? God's people must have, on some level, despite their stubbornness towards God, showed evidence they believed and were living for something bigger than themselves. It must have been witnessed by Moses because he chose to take a stand for his people. And the writer of Hebrews gives us this description of him in Hebrews 11, 24 through 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, it took him growing up to get to that point, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. At some point, Moses realized he had done wrong, and the life he had been living was not one that he was supposed to be living. He saw the sin all around him and he decided it was time to leave. To take a step of faith, regardless of his fear and trust, if God wanted to free his people, he could do it, whether it was through him or through someone else. So here's a question for us. Are we willing to do the same? Every day our lives have the opportunity to make a decision for faith versus fear. So by faith or by fear, how are we going to operate? Which is greater in our lives? The faith that we have in our great Creator or the fear that keeps us from taking steps forward and trusting what He says is true? That He is for us and not against us, like we sang this morning. And that nothing will prevail against us when we follow His leading and trust in Him. This truth is found in Romans 8, 31 through 39, which we'll read in a few minutes. But first, I'd like you to take a second and consider these questions as they come up on the screen. Are there things that scare you? Or keep you from the journey God has for you? What is the biggest obstacle between us and the abundant life Jesus describes and wants us to have? Is there something we're missing out on because we won't take bold steps? Which one of those is your top one? As we read this passage, I want you to think about that top one in relation to this passage. And I want you to think about what wells up inside and to own it. Not just to say, "Oh yeah, that was nice, we heard that." I want you to own it because God's going to speak to us today in a powerful way. He wants to transform us. So here we go. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? Now keep in mind, what he's talking about here is all these things before that Paul talks about in Romans, that we deserve death because we're sinners, that God made a way. There's no condemnation in Christ. There's a whole list. If you go back, you can read all through Romans and find a whole list of things that Paul is promising. But when he gets to this point, he's saying, what then shall we say in response to these things, to what Christ did for us? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? In other words, if God was willing to give up his son for us, then both he and Jesus want to give us all things or abundant life. This is not saying we'll get everything we want, but if we keep it in perspective of what God desires in our lives, things can change. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Think back to Moses. He just killed a man. We're going to go forward in a few minutes about that. It is God who justifies. God's the judge. He's the redeemer. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Why? Because Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's going before us. He went and stepped in the place so that we could have life, the abundant life. And we can't be judged because he took our judgment. Then who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, we deserve death. Our sin separates us from God and we deserve death. But we are more than conquerors. See, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul writes, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Nothing can separate us from Christ because of God's love for us through Jesus. So this passage states that our confidence, our provision, our faith is in Christ. We are secure knowing he will bring justice. It isn't a matter of if, but a matter of when. Even though Moses was wrong, he did wrong, God still stepped in because he is the one who is the righteous judge. Moses somehow knew God would step into the gap and by faith stepped away from a life that was comfortable and easy to follow him. All these things listed in this passage, Moses faced in his life. Maybe for some of you, you face these things too. Moses did not know that day as he walked away from what he knew as home, how God would use him or what his life would look like from this point forward. God loves us so much he's willing to use whatever, to do whatever, to get done what he needs doing. Not even the most powerful king or the most influential president, the richest person, or any obstacle can separate us from God's love that is found in Christ. Can you just own that for a second? There is no king, no president, no obstacle, no riches can separate us from the love of Christ.
Thank you.
Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Now, do not become discouraged thinking that, well, that was Moses and that's not me. Keep in mind, after this point, Moses disappointed God. Over and over and over. He thought he was not a good enough leader of his people and to speak for God to them. So starting in Exodus 10, I'm just going to list some of these. There's going to be a lot of verses on the screen, so I'll give you a second to read through them because I'm not going to speak each one, so you can read them. But I want you to see how Moses disappointed God. And the first one that we're going to read here is Exodus 4, 10 through 11. And it shows that he didn't want to do what God had called him to do. That's what's happening here. The next verse. He got angry and upset. He lost his temper in Exodus 32:19. Broke the very law that God had given him to give to his people. Oh. And then he was troubled and complained about having to do the job God had given him to do. Now, this is a long passage in Numbers 11:10-15. He's complaining. And he did things differently from the way God instructed him to do them. In Numbers 20:7-12. Moses thought that if he did things his way, they would work. See, and prior to this, Moses had struck the rock because God told him, or struck the rock and told him that it would come, the water would come out prior to this situation. And here, he's just saying, speak to the rock. And Moses is like, no, I'm going to tap it with the stick 2 times. So he didn't listen. So with all these examples, you may think, why did God not just pick someone else? Why did he continue to use Moses? But wait, what about Moses is like us? Do we ever go our own way or complain against God? Do we not listen to his instruction? Or maybe we think we're not good enough. How much like Moses are we really? Now, don't take all these things as Moses didn't do anything right, okay? Because there are plenty more examples as well of Moses being obedient to God. In fact, if you'd like to read them, if you read in Exodus through there, you can see many more examples of him following God's instruction and doing exactly what he told him to do. But the main thing I would hope you would take away from today is that we can either operate out of fear or out of faith. Moses messed up, but he operated out of faith. And when he messed up, God stepped in and redeemed him. In fact, some would say he even saved him from the mess. Yes, often there were consequences for Moses and even the people, but God still continued to use him. And I believe that we are in the same place today. A place where we are certain to make mistakes. None of us are perfect. We all fall short. Where we will not do the thing that God would want us to do, but we are also in a different place because Jesus went to the cross for all those mistakes. He came to redeem us and to let us know how much God loved us and that he is for us and that he will stand in the gap even when we mess up. Just think about that passage from Romans. Think about it in terms of those questions that we thought. Maybe another question brought up in you that you can think about that passage in response to. Now, there are some modern day examples of people who really messed up, but God still uses their lives in an amazing way. One of those examples is Chuck Colson. Some of you may know him, some of you may not. He was the chief counsel to Richard Nixon, but prior to this, he was a very successful lawyer. He was the youngest administrative assistant to a senator and known as a bulldog in the political arena. He was so focused on getting Nixon reelected, he did unethical things to make it happen. And for many of you, Watergate will ring a bell. In the midst of all the details of this coming out, Colson, through a friend, found Christ. And his life was never the same. It was transformed. He sat in his car weeping over what he had done. And they brought charges against him that they had no evidence for. But you know what Colson did? He didn't say, oh, you have no evidence and I'm a follower of Jesus. No, he said, you know what? No, those charges are incorrect. But let me just tell you about the charges that would be correct. And here you go, prosecutors. And Colson went to jail. He went to jail for a 1 to 3 year sentence for what he did, serving 7 months. But the story didn't end there, because Chuck Colson went on to found Fellowship Christian Prisoner. Prison Fellowship. Because while he was in prison, he started a Bible study because he didn't want to be alone. He wanted to be around his other brothers. And he realized that this place, this prison, was a dark place. There was no hope there, but that he could bring hope. So when he got out, as soon as he got out, he stepped forward and did this. And he's still going. Colson's been dead 4 years now, and Prison Fellowship is still going. The legacy lives on. While it seems like his life was on the wrong road, Jesus stepped in and diverted him along a different path, one where God's plan would take over his life. So as we close today, consider this. What will you do? Will you take this life on through worry and fear, always wondering if it will be enough? Questioning whether you can make it or even ever get it right? Or will you, like Moses, take steps of faith, trusting God and knowing that when you do mess up, he's right there and he'll see you through it? My hope is for the latter, because it is in this we will reach our destination together, through faith, that he has called us to it and set us on the path towards it. Let's pray for our offering in this message. God, I just thank you that you are a God who saves, that you help us to operate by faith, and that you look past our weaknesses and the things that can keep us from life the way that you want. You step into the gap and you change us, you transform us, and you can use us if we're willing to surrender and go, we're all in. We want you more than anything else. What does that look like? Maybe there's somebody here today that hasn't crossed that line of faith. Say, God, I want to be with you for all eternity. Would you just hear their heart today? Speak to them through the Holy Spirit. We want to pray over this offering that we're about to give, that you would be glorified in it, and that we would give from the first fruits because you gave to us first. That we would give by faith and step out because we know that you have a big plan for what you're doing here, and we're trusting you for that. This is a humble beginning, but we know that humble people you use in a mighty way, and I pray that you would do that with these people. God, more than anything, our response wants to be by faith. We want it to be by faith. We want to say we love you, and we want to live for you. So help us to do that as we continue on this journey. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.